Hello and welcome back to another episode at Economics Design. Today is a new month, so we are going to dive deeper into a new topic, NFTs, non-fungible tokens. In January and February, we talked about DeFi options and how do they work? What are the different economics and mechanisms behind that? So we have concluded that, and today we're moving on to a new topic of NFTs, non-fungible tokens. We're going to discuss the economics of NFTs, as well as the economic value of NFTs. Where is the economic value? Why are people buying it? What's the hype all about? And is it sustainable? That's all we're going to figure out today. Before I begin, a quick disclaimer. Nothing here is investment advice. This is purely educational. And I'm going to share a few of these different NFT projects. This is not a stamp as in these are good projects. If you want to invest in them, please do your own research. We're going to cover quite a bit of things today. What is NFT? How does NFT work? What are NFTs used for? The economic value of NFTs, NFT examples, as well as crossing NFTs with DeFi. So let's begin. What is NFT? NFT means non-fungible token. It is a token that represents something. That something could be digital, physical, or an intellectual property. It's something that's a little bit more direct, a little bit more obvious. So it could be things like art or music or a car or a house or the intellectual property of the ownership rights to an art. So it is a token that actually represents something more direct, something more obvious. Compared to other kind of tokens that we see out there, they usually represent an ecosystem, represent the economic value that the ecosystem or platform creates, which is a whole new different business model. And so NFT is a little bit more easy. It's easier to understand in the way where it is just a representation of something else. We turn that representation into a token, and we just discuss the token instead. That's what all the token is. Some properties that's quite different. It is firstly unique. It's usually limited in supply, and it is irreplaceable. So by unique, I mean it is representing something, right? It is representing art. A Van Gogh art can be represented as a digital art or as an NFT, a non-fungible token, and that token represents the Van Gogh art, the Starry, Starry Night, for example. So in that sense, it is very unique. You can't just take the Van Gogh art token and replace it with a little picture of the Starry, Starry Night that I drew. The value is quite different in that sense. So it is very unique on its own. It is also quite limited because usually, for example, with art, you have one token representing the art. That's it. Or it could be music where it's a limited digital release of only 1,000 people having access to the music. So it's limited in that supply. It is also irreplaceable because you can't just, as I mentioned, you can't replace my drawing of Starry, Starry Night with the token that represents Van Gogh's Starry, Starry Night. It is quite different. If you think about it as well, think about how non-fungible tokens are kind of like a token with identity. So I could tokenize myself and create a Lisa non-fungible token. So that's one Lisa. So if let's say I'm going to be working with a protocol to be designing this stuff and they're going to engage me and they can engage me via my token somehow, then I will be working with that protocol to be creating tokens. It is irreplaceable, as in you can't just swap Lisa's token with John's tokens or Mary's token and put them with that protocol to be designing that stuff. It is irreplaceable in that sense. You can't replace that one Lisa token with something else. So that is why it is a bit more unique. So all that aside, how does NFT work? Let's go back to understanding a little bit about what's the difference between NFTs as well as the general crypto tokens. Firstly, NFT tokens, as I mentioned, they get the value from the underlying asset. It's a very direct relationship to the underlying asset. So we could have an NFT that represents a house. When the house increases in value, the NFT also increases in value. If house drops in value, the NFT drops in value. So it's a very easy understanding or very easy way to map across the value. Few understand. So technically, in the technical aspect, the technology aspect, they have different standards, different kind of smart contract code, different kind of classification of them. So for example, for the Ethereum platform itself, the general crypto tokens are usually ERC-20, whereas the NFT tokens are usually 721 or 1155. They're different kind of technical standards. but still, they're all written in smart contract codes. The cool thing is that similar with general crypto tokens, no one can edit it. No one can change the code. No one can edit the different rules. What are the rules? The rules are these economic rules that we have written and codified in smart contract. And so these are rules that the token will behave and the token will follow. So simple rules can be really something like, this token represents a property in Manhattan. And when the property in Manhattan rises in price or rises in value, you know that the token will also rise in value because they are pegged to each other. We're just tokenizing the Manhattan property to crypto so we can use them. That's a very simple understanding. Something that we can embed further in, something that is quite fascinating, is that we can start creating new rules that is very specific to the crypto market. For example, we can create taxation rules for ownership of assets back to the creator. So let's say I create art. So I create the Starry Starry Night, the Lisa's version of Starry Starry Night. And somehow everybody wants to buy them. I only have two paintings or two of these art, and I put it on OpenSea and people buy them. And one of the problems with art is that the first sale is usually not that high. A lot of the value comes in the resale, right? When the artist sells the art to someone, they pay a fee, and then somehow the art investor manages to flip the art and earns a lot. Now, me as a creator, I create that art. But I don't get the upside of it being flipped. So that's a little bit unfair, right? Because in the finance world, you always can get access somehow, some way, depending on the type of financial structure products we're talking about. But in art, it's quite different. So how can we do that? How can we make sure that we can allocate better fairness in this system? We can look at having taxation of the ownership of this art piece going back to the creator. So something like, if you get to own this art, then every year you have to pay 10% of the value of the art to me, the creator, because I get to earn the upside as well. And you get to enjoy that piece of art, well, kind of like almost like paying royalties to me because I created the art. So it's a way to return some form of value created back to the creator. And these are things that we can embed. These are things that we can codify in smart contracts or in the token world. And this is one of the innovations that comes about, NFTs. And then what are NFTs used for then? There are a lot of different uses and applications. As I mentioned before, there are a lot of things like art. Art is not just paintings, but art could be music. It could be any form of digital assets, any form of virtual assets. And remember, you'll probably be thinking, okay, I have a game in World of Warcraft. I have a game in a lot of these online virtual worlds and online games, video games. So it's kind of like the same thing. It's also digital virtual art or digital virtual items. Well, the difference is that we can start embedding a lot of different kind of codes that can be executed with smart contract. And that's one of the cool innovation. And that's why it's slightly different from the current in-game digital assets that you see. Because we can really level up with the technology that we have today. We can really level up the way that these tokens or these assets are being created and traded. So that's digital items. Then we also have digital collectibles. We have investment products. If investment products could be something like you are packaging a lot of different finance products or DeFi products into one asset, and this asset is very unique on its own, and you can trade this asset instead. So that's investment product. We have intellectual property. So intellectual property could be something like the ownership rights, the distribution rights, the property rights. That is something that I'm exploring in the book that I have written. And I'm creating a token to represent the distribution and publishing rights of the book. So it's a new thing that I'm exploring. And the thing is, a lot of the times we're thinking of NFTs as something very limited, as in it's just art or music or just random drawings by people. The thing is, that's not true because there's so many use cases, there's so many applications of NFTs. And the last one will be linking it to physical world assets or physical world items, like basketball players, like social celebrities, like different kind of influencers or different kind of people. These are a lot of these things that we can create and we can use NFTs for. So what are the perks? Well, the firstly, the pulse is ownership, because you own that thing, and that is completely codified in smart contract or on the blockchain. So no one can dispute your ownership. We can also look at identity, because it's not just identity of that asset, but also giving yourself identity to peg yourself to the NFT or to the asset itself. Or it could be linking the digital asset to something that exists in the physical world. Which brings us to the third point of provenance of assets. Provenance of assets is really just clarifying where the asset is coming from and how it gets value. So there's a Twitter thread with Professor Anthony Lee Zhang, and we're talking about how we can turn NFTs into some form of minimum entry ticket or minimum entry barrier for people to enter into a community or ecosystem. So holding this NFT, which represents the provenance of assets, can really introduce you to a whole new community. So we're talking about the luxury world. So in the luxury world, let's say we're talking about people who own Birkins, MS Birkins, and these are very, very highly private or very exclusive products. So there are a lot of fakes out there. So by having an NFTs and a non-fungible token to represent this Birkin handbag, then it gives you a ticket to enter this community where all these people are Birkin holders, and because you all have this common underlying interest of Birkin bags, you're probably also interested to talk about fashion, talk about brands, talk about the luxury world, talk about exclusive experiences, or maybe something new and coming in the couture world and you want to get access to that. So we can look beyond just NFT. NFT is really tip of the iceberg. Everything that we talked about in DeFi and digital world is that it's just tip of the iceberg, because there's so many things that we can create after that. So that's really fun. Okay, now let's go and discuss a little bit more, which is one of the crux of this entire episode, is the economic value of NFTs. Why is everyone crazy about NFTs? NFT is kind of like just digital assets, which we can create rules in there. So why are people so crazy about it? How are people making so much money out of it? Well, the first simple answer is scarcity and human psychology. So an NFT could be something like digital Van Gogh. It is limited in supply, and the market has demand for it. And it's just like art investors. If you can see that the world will probably have future demand of it, then you're interested in investing in it so that in the future, you can get returns for this NFT investment. There's also things like digital release. So it follows the supreme style of having only limited assets being released into the space, and there's limited supply. Market has just insane demand for it. And the economics of such scarce assets, which plays around with human psychology, is that it doesn't follow the usual supply and demand curve. As things get more and more scarce and people are demanding more, the price, the supply is actually inelastic, and people are just willing to pay top dollar for it, because it plays around with scarcity, it plays around with human psychology. The other thing to look at how NFTs have value is also the community. So when you have a large audience or a large following for artists, then you can have more, you can reach out to more people, and you can start building your community, which is related to the demand of your asset. So the valuation is quite proportional to the growth rate of the demand of this asset or growth rate of the demand of the market. Right now, we have seen the growth rate and demand of NFTs growing quite exponentially. And so hence the valuation is reflective of the growing demand. Another thing to consider as well is that NFT is just really simple. It is extremely easy to understand. And it is also quite novel because it's a whole new technology. So it's simple in the way where we have the same concept as collecting Pokemon cards or collecting baseball cards. It's not very far from what we grew up playing with when we were in school. So that concept is easy. It's really easy to get people to understand it, to know how to buy and how to use them. So that's easy already. The second thing is, it's also very easy to understand where the value is coming from. Sure, that just now when we talked about the whole valuation is very proportional to the growth of demand or the rate of growth of the demand of the market. The simple way is to understand when the asset has value, then my token has value. If this ecosystem or this property increases in value, then the tokenized version of this property increases in value. if this art or this music is really popular and increases in value, then my token increases in value. It's very easy to understand. And it helps people to understand things a lot better, because in the digital world, there are a lot of things that we can't touch. We grow up understanding buying things by touching and feeling them, and they're very visible. They're physical things that we can understand, and we can put a price and value to that. Then we talked about DeFi, where things are very complicated. You have to consider the economic model. You have to think about the economic design. You have to think about how it generates value in the future. You have to use very complex financial models, use discount cash flow to find out the valuation today. It's very difficult and complex. Someone new in the space is just looking at something as easy as baseball cards, keeping, trading them. And so what NFT is doing is to put almost like a visibility of some intangible digital asset to something that we can see. We can see it on the computers, because a digital art, you can't feel the art, but at least you can see the art. Compared to a DeFi token, you can't see the DeFi token, you can't hold the DeFi token, you have to find ways to value the DeFi token, and it gets a bit difficult for a newcomer or a new person to enter the space and learn more about it and put some money into it. It's just a lot easier with NFTs, because you can see, okay, this is the art that I'm buying. I really like the art. I'm going to pay money for it because I can see it, I like it, and I can keep it in my phone, or I can keep it in my laptop, and I can see it every day. So that almost like that digital tangibility or digital visibility really helps to make things a lot easier, really reduces the barrier to entry, reduces the education learning curve to get access to NFTs. And that's why NFTs is so big. That's why NFTs is booming in the not just in the crypto space, but also non-crypto space, because it's a lot easier to understand. So what are some NFT examples? One of the OG, or like the original NFTs, is CryptoKitties in 2017. A lot of people were trading them, and it increased a lot in value. And actually, so many people were trading them that making transactions on Ethereum got very expensive. Then we have other things like Grimm's NFT digital art, Axie Infinity. We have a lot of art on OpenSea. We have collectibles on Rarible. We have NFT FI. We have Engine. We have NBA Top Shot. We have memes. There's so many different kind of NFT marketplaces and NFT projects out there. Not only that, one of the other reasons that is driving the adoption of NFTs are bullish investors in the non-crypto world. So think people like Mark Cuban, like Chamath, they're very bullish, or they seem to be extremely bullish on NFTs, at least on Twitter. And so this helps people to pique their interest in NFT, as well as understand, okay, this is something that represents digital art or represents virtual assets. And I can see that, I can understand that a lot easier, and I'm just going to buy and jump on that boat. So that's why NFTs are booming, and it's just easy to understand, and it's bullish by big investors in the space. So let's conclude with tying it back to DeFi. How does NFT and DeFi relate with each other? A few things that's being currently explored. One is lending and borrowing for funding. So if, let's say, I am an art investor, NFT investor, and I think I'm very bullish on this specific NFT, I think the future will have huge market demand for it, but I don't have enough funds to buy it. So there's lending and borrowing markets for NFTs. So it's similar to lending and borrowing in DeFi, but instead of borrowing tokens to be using in other space, you're just borrowing tokens to be buying stuff. So just like you're borrowing money from the bank to buy a house. Similar concept. Instead of buying a house, you buy an NFT. Then we are also looking at using DeFi as collaterals. So project like Avegochi, they use the A tokens, the Ave tokens, to use as collaterals in their bonding curves to be creating and minting their ghost tokens. Or we can use it in a different way, where we're using NFTs as collaterals. Remember how we mentioned that NFTs can be representing physical assets like houses, or it could be digital art, and these things have value. So how can we exploit the value with how can we capture and enjoy more value of the NFT? We can use the NFT as collaterals in different kind of DeFi platforms. So if, let's say, this NFT is worth 100 ETH, then I can use it as collaterals and maybe borrow 75 ETH out of it, for example. Then we also have a lot of bonding curves in NFTs. Bonding curve is not exactly something that's DeFi related. It's just a way to represent the relationship between different kind of variables in your ecosystem. So we can bring NFT into the conversation as well. I have two conversations with interviews of NFTs, and I'll link it up above, where we talked with Simon, which is the creator of Bonding Curves and very, very big on NFTs. We talked about how we can exploit more of NFTs, we can explore different kind of ways, and what kind of research can we look at in terms of Bonding Curves that ties in with NFTs. We also talked with Alex with the Alex token, talking about how social tokens, Bonding Curves, NFTs all come together. And lastly, we look at structured DeFi products. We talked about a few of them where we were talking about DeFi options, because NFT products are, or DeFi products are, we can turn them into NFTs where we combine different kind of DeFi protocols together, combine them into an NFT, so almost like an ETF, and we can trade them. We can turn them into non-fungible tokens as well, because they are very unique on its own, and you can be trading them. And if you think a bit bigger, what can we possibly look at in the future? We can look at NFT-based mortgage loans. So similar to lending and borrowing, but instead of lending and borrowing, we can use NFTs to, let's say we mortgage your NFTs to be getting a loan for your house, or other way around. Because there are a lot of ways to explore as value of NFT booms. Then we can talk about NFT staking, which is something that I'm exploring with a few of the projects that I'm working with, looking at how can we exploit NFT, or how can we explore the way to use NFTs with a lot of these DeFi mechanisms that we're very familiar with. And lastly, something that I've been exploring in the book that I've written is the intellectual property as NFT. So what I'm doing is to tokenize publishing and distribution rights of the book that I've written into an NFT. And so this NFT gets its value from the book's distribution rights. And then it's also a way to account for the amount of books sold and distributed, and then it becomes an accounting way to be allocating different kind of returns to the NFT holders. So these are just different ways where NFT can be so much bigger than just art and music and whatever that we're talking about today. Whatever that we're experimenting now, whatever that we're talking about now, is really just the tip of the iceberg. The future is really extremely exciting, and we're here to build that future. So that's it for today. I hope this gives you a better understanding of what NFT is, where the economic value comes from. And for the next couple of weeks in this month, we're just going to focus on different kind of NFT projects. I mentioned about my book a few times. It is The Economics and Math of Token Engineering in DeFi. It's available on Amazon. And if you don't want to do Amazon, you can go to book.economicsdesign.com, where I can send the book to you via mail as well. So this is the URL to go to, and this is the QR code. Just scan them and you can get access to the book. Till then, I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.